You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. When it comes to protecting the environment, our existing laws have failed us. So says my next guest. In her new book, The Green Amendment, environmental activist Maya Van Rossum says existing laws don't ban pollution. They don't ban development. As she writes, and I quote, industries are perfectly able to pollute the air and water, not in spite of, but because of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act. They simply need the right permits to do so. Van Rossum believes Flint's poison water is a reminder that in most places there is no recognition of our right to clean water. And she believes adding a green amendment to our state constitutions and eventually our federal constitution could ensure that that government at all levels would protect our environmental rights. Maya Van Rossum is the Delaware Riverkeeper as well as author of The Green Amendment, and she's with us now via Skype. Welcome, Maya.
Thanks so much for having me.
In your book, The Green Amendment, you champion something called environmental constitutionalism. Just what is that?
That's securing a constitutional provision that's placed in the Bill of Rights section of our state and federal constitutions in order to ensure that our rights to a healthy environment are given the highest level of legal protection possible in the United States of America, and that our rights to a healthy environment are protected on par with the other rights that we hold dear, like the right to freedom of speech, freedom of press, our religious freedoms, as well as our private property rights and more.
So Michigan's Constitution entrusts the legislature, and I will quote here, to provide for the protection of the air, water, and other natural resources of the state from pollution, impairment, and destruction. So why is that not enough in your view?
It's not enough for two reasons. First off, Section 52 of Michigan's Constitution is in Article 4 of the Constitution. So it's lower down in the constitutional document than other rights and freedoms that people hold dear. It's not included. That provision is not included in the Bill of Rights, and therefore it doesn't recognize and honor the right to a healthy environment as an inalienable right, which if infringed upon by government officials or by the action of others allowed by the government, would allow individuals who have had their constitutional right to a healthy environment trumped on to be able to go directly to the courts to defend that right. So one, very simply, it's not in the Bill of Rights. Two, just the language itself that you read makes very clear you only have the right to a healthy environment in Michigan to the extent and to the degree the state legislature says so. So the provision makes very clear that the state legislature will pass a law that defines and implements your right to a healthy environment. And the truth is, if they pass a bad law, then there's not really anything you can do about it as long as they comply with that law. If they pass a law that allows environmental degradation, that results in environmental contamination, that damages the quality of your life, that damages your health, that damages your property rights, as long as they've complied with the law that they've passed, you're kind of stuck. If you had an inalienable right in the Bill of Rights section of the Constitution, and the legislature passed a law that allowed so much environmental degradation, for example, damaged your health, you would have the ability to go to court and challenge that action or that decision. Because despite the fact that they could say they complied with a law, they still would have to demonstrate that they hadn't overstepped and violated your constitutional right to a healthy environment. So it's a much higher standard.
What do you think if we had had a green amendment in the Michigan Constitution, in the Bill of Rights, how would that have played out in the case of the Flint water crisis?
I think that it could have allowed the people of Flint to much more quickly, much more easily defend their right to clean and healthy water. Because as soon as they had the science and the information to demonstrate that the actions and the activities of government officials in the state of Michigan had resulted in contamination of the water to the degree that it was threatening and harming the health of the people of Flint, they would have had a constitutional challenge to those actions and or inactions that resulted in that high level of degradation. So it would have allowed the people of Flint to act much more quickly to defend their right to healthy water.
Pennsylvania and Montana already have a green amendment in their constitutions. What effects have you seen as a result of that?
So in both Pennsylvania and Montana, as you said, they have a green amendment that is framed in the way that I think is essential for protecting people's environmental rights. The provision is in the Bill of Rights section of the Constitution. It identifies the rights to a healthy environment as being inalienable and as belonging not just to the generations who are here today, but the generations yet to come. So it's a much higher standard. And the impact that it's having is it's forcing legislators and regulators and decision makers in those states to have to think much more carefully about the decisions and actions they're undertaking and the effects that they have on the environment and people's lives. In those two states, for example, and I speak very directly to Pennsylvania, where we do a lot of our work, The government officials have to be able to demonstrate that they've had to not just make sure that the decisions they're making and the actions that they're allowing comply with the letter of the law, for example, allowing a certain level of pollution discharge into the air or the water. They can't just say we've complied with the law. They have to do that extra analysis to make sure that they haven't trampled on people's constitutional rights. So it's resulting in more informed, more careful decision making. And it is also providing the opportunity for the people of those states when they can show that the government has allowed actions and activities that are degrading the environment to the degree that they are overstepping and damaging people's lives, health, safety, etc. The people are able to go right to the courts to challenge that because of the constitutional provision. It's a much stronger opportunity for the people to hold our government officials accountable when they render decisions or allow activities that overstep and violate people's rights to a healthy environment, their ability to drink clean water, breathe clean air, to enjoy the environments around them that are critical to their quality of life and their capacity to learn, to support local economies and local jobs that are supported by that healthy environment. So it's just a much different playing field in those two states at this point.
For people who feel that cracking into the Constitution just isn't the way to go about solving challenges to the environment, what do you say to them?
I think that they don't understand exactly what's going on. I mean, you know, and that's not because of anything other than it's a complicated issue and it takes a lot to understand. And so we really have to have a very informed conversation with those people to talk about the status of our environment, to talk about the state of the law, and to talk about how constitutional protection just changes the landscape so they can ensure good quality of life. Pursuing a constitutional provision for protection of the environment is not, you know, an easy lift by any imagination. I'm not suggesting that people can expect that they'll go out tomorrow and some portion of the state will say, we want a constitutional provision, and they'll have one by the end of the year. There's going to have to be a grassroots campaign. They're going to have to find legislators that understand that it's more important to protect people's healthy lives than it is to protect an industrial operator's ability to spew pollution into the air with impunity rather than to find a way to conduct their operations using technology that prevents that pollution while still allowing them to continue to operate. And when you get people to really understand the difference between having environmental protection laws on the books, good or bad, and having the right, having the understanding that you can have the expectation of a healthy environment. And when that expectation is left wanting by our government officials, that you have another pathway to hold those government officials accountable is meaningful.
Maya, when you consider the current administration's approach to the environment, a president who in 2012 tweeted the concept of global warming was created by and for the Chinese in order to make the U.S. manufacturing non-competitive, an EPA head who, as State Attorney General of Oklahoma, sued the EPA over and over and over again. You know what I'm talking about with this general climate. Do you believe you can truly get traction in this call for a green amendment for state and the federal constitutions?
I think the landscape has never been better at the state level and at the federal level to secure constitutional level protection of our environmental rights.
Why?
With what is happening in the states and at the federal level, with the rollback of environmental protections, with government legislators, again, at the state level and at the federal level, bending over backwards to do whatever they can to help industrial operators make more money at the expense of our healthy communities. I think people see that and recognize that industry is being more valued by our government officials than the ability of people to live good, healthy, quality lives. And they're offended by it. And rightly, they're offended by it. And so I think it's just the tremendous level of overreach that make people recognize that we are in a moment in time when we need to change the landscape in terms of legal protection for our constitutional rights. But I think it's more achievable for us to operate state by state, community by community, to fight for and secure state constitutional provisions. And as that energy and that recognition builds, I think in the not too distant future, we will be at a right place in our nation to say, you know what? We're getting constitutional level protections, but there's a giant gap here because we don't have a constitutional provision that allows us to hold our president, our Congress, our Senate accountable when they're violating our rights to healthy water, healthy air, and healthy environments. So we need a federal constitutional provision too. I think it's an amazing moment.
Maya Van Rossum, the Delaware Riverkeeper. Her new book is The Green Amendment. Maya, thanks so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Thank you so much for having me.